Just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, your word is living and active because you are living and active. So speak to us, Lord, now, and help us to see Jesus and serve him in our generation. Amen. Well, good morning again and welcome, and to visitors, really glad to have you here, and I hope you'll stay around after for some coffee. And if you're visiting our city, a special welcome. We hope you enjoy your stay with us here. If you're living in Victoria, then I hope you would consider making this your church home if you don't already have one. Not looking to poach anybody, but if you're a free agent, we'd love to have you. And thank you, Sue, for filling in on the soundboard today. I was expecting you to run some kind of an app that would give me a South African accent, but no, you it would somehow make me sound more sophisticated than I am. We are continuing our summer series called Bible Stories for Grown-Ups, and we're looking at some of those classic stories that many of us heard as kids in our children's Bible, maybe read by a parent or a grandparent and in Sunday school. And today we stop in the second book of the Bible, which is the book of Exodus, and the story of Moses and the burning bush. And if you would like to, I would invite you to open one of those shiny new church Bibles to page 80 as we begin our journey in chapter 3, verse 1. And I will encourage you to take that Bible and use it during this sermon. This is really, truly how we, an important way we grow. So this is a classic story of God meeting Moses. And there's so much in here that this could be a six-week series. But I am going to do my best to distill it down into one talk. But before we get into the story of Moses, let me ask you a few questions. What is your experience with God? What's your experience with God like? How has he met you in the past? How did he first meet you? How has he met you since? How is he meeting you today? Has your relationship with him always been active and growing? Or have there been times when it's been a little dodgy, a little weak, and your spiritual muscles are maybe feeling atrophied? When that happens, how do you get back on track and get back in a good place? Or maybe you feel you've never been on track and you've never really understood who God is. Well, if you can relate to any of these questions, then there is something in this story for you. There always is something in God's Word. This story especially, I think, speaks to us because it speaks to us of how God meets us. So Exodus 3, 1 to 10 has at least seven ways that God reveals himself to Moses in this story. And in the interest of time and not wanting to test the limits of your Christian patience today, I'll keep it to one point that I think will take in all of the other points in the passage. But I would encourage you later today or sometime this week to read over Exodus 3, 1 to 10 slowly. Immerse yourself in these words because these words will really feed you and they'll reassure you that you are part of God's plan. If you've ever doubted that, then be encouraged that God is speaking to you. So one point I'd like to make today, and the point comes from verse 4 in the passage. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Now we know that God had been watching over Moses long before this. So we know that when Moses was born, his life was threatened. Pharaoh said, "Kill those Hebrew babies, get rid of them." This is how God works. What did God do? Well, he protected Moses. And where did Moses end up? He ended up in Pharaoh's house. Only God can do that. Only God can say, "You know what, Pharaoh? You think you're so smart. I'm going to have your daughter raise my chosen servant Moses." The story of Moses and the burning bush reveals God, and reveals God as the God who speaks and the God who acts. And that's the takeaway message really for today. If you don't remember anything else, just take away that one point. This is the God who speaks and the God who acts. Now, that may not sound very profound or insightful for someone who spent time at theological college. You may think, is this what we're paying this guy for? You know, one point on a Sunday morning that sounds like it came out of a children's Bible. But there's a lot going on here in Exodus 3, 4, a ton of things going on. That one verse really captures everything that's going on in the story of the burning bush. To say that God speaks is to actually open up a whole world that says God acts in the life of his people. God is living and active in the life of Moses, the people of Israel, and we extend out the framework to include ourselves today. God speaks and acts in our lives as well. He's certainly doing that for you, I'm sure. He's called you. How did he do that? Now, maybe you feel that God has never called you or you've never heard him calling. Well, I'm saying that he's doing it right now. We listen to his word being read, and now we're thinking about what this all means. This is God's call to us. You are in the story as Moses is. So let's go through the passage and see the different ways that God spoke to Moses. And once we've done that, then we'll connect ourselves up in our present day in 2018. Well, first of all, God spoke supernaturally in the bush. Now, this is not like one of the poor little bushes that is in the Okanagan Valley now, you know, under threat of wildfire. This is a bush that is supernaturally on fire. This is a miracle where God shows up to get Moses' attention. In the language of the Gospel of John, this would be a sign and a wonder when God does something miraculous. And we see this from time to time in the Bible. Well, once he had his attention, once Moses actually got up the courage to go over and look at the burning bush, God called to him verbally. This was not an interior voice. This was not a thought or a feeling that Moses had. This was a voice. And again, this doesn't happen all the time. We see it in the New Testament. At the baptism of Jesus, God spoke verbally. At the transfiguration, God spoke verbally. Anytime he does that, it's a moment where we sit up a little straighter and say, God is doing something extra special and dramatic. And in verse 4, we know what he said to Moses. He called him by name, personally. If you've ever been walking on the street or in the mall or in the line at the coffee shop and someone speaks your name, you turn around. You have to. You can't resist because you hear your name. God spoke Moses' name, and Moses responded. And when God spoke to Moses, he did what only God could do. He initiated the conversation. That's a huge part of this. God actually made the first move. Now, knowing what God already knows about humanity, we might think that he might just leave us alone to find our own way. After all, that's really what we like to do. We're good at that. We're good at finding our own way, of wanting to find our own way and search for God on our own. Remember the story from last week, the Tower of Babel? They were trying to reach God on their own. The covenant God made with them, the way he'd revealed himself to them, wasn't good enough. So they said, well, let's try to reach up to the heavens and find God on our own. And we do that time and time again. That's been our story from the beginning. We're so misguided, we think that we can find God. Now, inside every person is a desire to find purpose and meaning and hope and fulfillment. We all have that within us. But how we go about that is very different. We go on a big spiritual search, and we work hard to find the truth, and we work hard to find spiritual meaning and purpose for our lives. And among the wide range of spiritual beliefs in the world, and there are a lot of them, it's like a buffet. In this story, we see that God is totally unique. This is the unique God who speaks. He speaks to us, and more than that, he calls you by name. He uses your own name, calling to you, wanting to get your attention. So that's what he did with Moses. And once he did that, he revealed more of himself. Listen to verse 6. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Just think of a person you would really love to meet. Now, who would that be? Someone famous? Someone influential? Think of that person just for a moment. And imagine, after church today, you were going to meet that person and you would sit down and maybe have lunch, maybe have coffee, and you would have an hour with them. No one else, just with them talking. You would have some butterflies. Now, don't try to tell me otherwise. I know you would. Absolutely you would, because you've admired this person, they're famous, and when we meet people like that, we get butterflies because we admire them. There's something about them that we really admire. During the conversation, you'd be trying to keep up your end of the conversation and trying to say something brilliant or witty. But in the back of your mind, you'd be thinking, oh my gosh, here I am sitting with so-and-so for an hour. Wow, what a moment. Well, now think of Moses, poor Moses, being completely overwhelmed in the presence of the living God of all creation. Usually, when that happens, people don't survive. It was almost too much. He hid his face, and from that we could surmise that he fell on the ground. And as God spoke to Moses, he called him by name, but he mentioned famous names from the past. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus used that story to make the point that God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. God is speaking to Moses and saying, Moses, I'm alive and active, and to prove it, I'm referencing the faith tradition of Israel. The faith tradition of Israel is rooted in the events of the past, in the spiritual ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's also a living tradition that continues today. And by speaking to him, God is saying, Moses, you're part of this living tradition. It's continuing. The family line is continuing with you. And this living tradition doesn't depend on your faithfulness, Moses. It depends on my faithfulness, on the covenant I've made with my people, and the way that I speak to them, and the way that I act in their life. Now, as if Moses already didn't have enough on his plate to worry about, God kept speaking. And Moses was even more overwhelmed. And as God spoke, he revealed more of his plans. And he revealed more of his heart. And what a privilege that the God of the universe, the Lord who made us, reveals his heart to us so we know exactly who he is and then who we are in our relationship with him. So God says to Moses in verse 7, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I am concerned about their suffering. Here we have this incredible picture of the God who feels. He feels the suffering of his people. Israel was groaning in slavery. God wasn't disconnected. He felt deep concern and longing for his people. And as he spoke to Moses, God gave away his whole plan. Listen to Exodus 3, verse 8. I have come down. Again, remember the people of Babel trying to reach up? God says here, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Can we see what's going on here? This is God revealing his whole plan, saying, Moses, you have a part to play. God's revealing how he works in the world. He doesn't work by magic. He calls people. He acts supernaturally, but more often than not, he uses ordinary people and he uses them to do extraordinary things. Had lunch with a friend the other day, and he shared about a horrific accident he had quite a few years ago. And he's recovered from it mostly, but he said, you know, God doesn't send the accidents and the pain. He doesn't send the accidents and the pain, but he redeems them. That is wisdom. That is the wisdom of being in a living relationship with a living God, knowing that God didn't send it, but he sure did redeem it. The truth is that Israel chose slavery. They chose that by rebelling against God. And because God is so loving, he doesn't force himself on us. He allows us to choose him. He continues to be faithful, and he reaches out to us so that we would turn, repent, and be healed. So we see here so far in Exodus 3 that when God speaks, he speaks about himself as the God of the living. And he speaks to us so that we know we have a part in his plan, in his relationship, and his purpose for the world. He speaks about himself as the God who's concerned for his people. He's the God who rescues his people out of slavery. He leads his people into a promised land. So let me mention just two other things briefly in the passage. As he spoke to Moses, and we wonder how Moses managed to keep himself together, but as he spoke to him, God talked about two other things that he was going to do. Verse number 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. And once again, bit by bit, God is forming a perfect picture of himself. He's revealing himself here as the God who cares for his people. This is the rescuer. At the 9:30 service this morning, Trevor led us in that great song, Chainbreaker. God is the chainbreaker, the one who breaks the bonds of slavery and allows us to be free in Jesus Christ. Here is the God who isn't disconnected from his people. This is the God who's very much in the mire with his people, in slavery. Again, not sitting far off in heaven, but saying there, I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. That's completely different. That's not a God who's disconnected. This is the God who brings justice to the slaves, the God who raises up and sends servants like Moses to go in and to be the leaders of the rescue. As you woke up this morning, maybe you listened to the news and you heard about a rescue that happened in Syria overnight. There were people in Syria called White Helmets, I think that's what they're called. I really honestly don't know much about them, but they're doing a good work among the people of Syria, putting their lives on the line to rescue people and to create safety and create blessing in people's lives. NATO apparently became aware that there was a credible threat against them and they were going to be killed. Well, overnight there was a rescue mission arranged. Canada was part of it, the U.S. and other NATO countries. The people were brought safely to Israel. Beautiful, isn't it? Again, we have that great image of people who are in real danger being rescued from the hand of the oppressor, from the hand of the enemy, and being brought into the promised land. So the last thing we learn here about our loving God is that he's in control of human history. All of this happens just before Moses responds to God and tries to get out of the job that God gives him to do. But before that happens, God says to Moses, so now, go, go. God isn't a God who works by magic. He didn't wake up the people of Israel one night and say, you need to leave now, and everyone had the same thought, and they simply left. No, he sent Moses and Aaron. They went, and they over time revealed God's plan and eventually showed Pharaoh enough of God's power that Pharaoh said, go, and eventually Moses led them out. God said, go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So the rescue plan had to be planned and carried out. God used Moses, and God was in charge of all the details. And if you look at the rest of the story, you'll see just how he did it. It all points to the same conclusion. God is sovereign. God's in charge. There is no other living God but him. He's the only one. And Exodus 3 tells us that all other gods we may try to find and follow, all the other idols in our lives, they're actually useless, they're lifeless, and they're actually powerless to do anything for us. Absolutely powerless. Oh, we love to chase after these things so easily. We all do it. And there was a time in my own life when I chased after those lifeless gods and found absolutely nothing. A big fat zero. They don't provide. They don't have compassion. They don't bring justice. They don't bring release to the captives. They don't bind up the brokenhearted. They don't redeem. They don't redeem, rather. They can't because they're dead. But our God is a God who's alive. He speaks, he acts, and he's revealed himself to us. And here in the story of the burning bush, we see this living and active God. And hopefully here, you see Moses, but also you see yourself. You see yourself. Let's go back to those questions from the beginning for a moment. Where do you see the living God active in your life? Where do you see him? Where do you see him providing a safe place for you? How have you seen him in the past giving you rescue and salvation? What kind of slavery were you in, and how did God bring you out? Well, we see this living God perfectly in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the one we worship. Shortly, we're going to come to his table to receive the bread and the wine, spiritual food that feeds us, that reveals the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We see this living God perfectly in Jesus, the one who came down, was born, lived, walked among us, taught, bled and died for us, and then finally rose again. This is the living God. This is the living God. And when we serve a living God, we hopefully come to know that this is a God who acts and speaks in our daily lives. And in the middle of the mess, He's here. I'm not sure what's going on in your life right now, but maybe there's a crisis. Maybe there's something where you feel you failed, or maybe there's a success. But in that moment, you need to know that God's speaking to you. God is acting. God is revealing Himself to you. He may reveal Himself to you supernaturally, or He may do it in a quiet way, through a Bible passage, through a sinner who stands in a pulpit, like me, through a dream, through a vision, through a friend here at church, or maybe through a stranger. But overall, this story in the Bible is a story of a God who interacts with His people. This is not about us reaching up to God. We try that. We do that. But it doesn't work. This is the God who reaches down to us. He reaches down to us perfectly and finally in Jesus Christ and reveals Himself to us. Let me finish with a quote from the magazine The New Statesman and writer Tom Holland, who talks about how familiar we are in the Western world with the story of Jesus Christ and His crucifixion. Tom Holland says, "Familiarity with the biblical story of the crucifixion has dulled our sense. Our familiarity has dulled our sense to just how completely novel Christ was, how completely unique He was. In the ancient world, it was the role of the gods to uphold order by inflicting punishment, not to suffer punishment themselves." Tom Holland is pointing to the truth that the Lord Jesus suffered punishment for us. And the story of the burning bush set a whole series of events in motion that led to the Passover lamb being sacrificed in order to protect a chosen people and to lead them out of slavery and bondage and to deliver them from God's judgment and wrath. And the truth in this passage is, and I hope you're willing to face this truth, honestly, is that we deserve this. We deserve that punishment because we've chosen false gods. We've chosen to follow those gods. But God, in His faithfulness, has spoken. He's acted in your life. He'll continue to speak and to act, and He'll continue to point you to the cross of Jesus Christ. How do you respond to this? Well, we'll have a moment in a minute to respond in our confession, to hear the words of absolution, and then to come to the Lord's table to be blessed again with spiritual food. And then as we leave this place today, we have an opportunity to respond again. How do we do that? Well, we go out and we offer ourselves again today as God's servants. God's humble people going out to serve the brokenhearted, the wounded, and the needy, holding out some gospel medicine and saying, "Jesus has healed me, He can heal you too." Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You that You've spoken. You spoke to Moses and You speak to us. You acted through Moses, and Lord, You act through us. We thank You so much for this living truth. Lord, bless us as we serve You. Help us to receive this teaching. Help us to turn away from anything that would get in the way of our relationship with You. And Lord, above all, help us to be faithful to Your covenant, the covenant Jesus made on the cross. In His name we pray. Amen.